I feel like people are being pandered to right now. No one's being pushed outside of anything they want to do. Yeah, live your truth, whatever. I'm here to offer an alternative opinion. I'm Danielle Elizabeth, and this is my podcast. Aren't podcasts supposed to have cute names and stuff, though? This week, I want to talk about the power of faith. Last week, I talked about the power of yes and saying yes to things. And I think that that seems like a simple action item, which is great. But I also think that it's really incredibly difficult to do that without a healthy dose of faith. Faith comes in many forms. And for the purposes of this podcast and just in my life, I'm mostly speaking to faith in God and Jesus. But if you are not quite there with me on that, you can also look at this as faith in yourself. But I think that for the purposes of this specific podcast, we're going to be talking about faith in God, a religious faith. Faith is like a muscle. You have to work it out. If you don't regularly exercise your faith, you're going to get comfortable and your muscles are going to atrophy. I think that the best way to exercise your faith is to push yourself outside of your comfort zone. And what do I mean by that? I mean, when you feel yourself getting comfortable and complacent, don't just accept that if you've decided in your life that you want to start pushing yourself. You have to actually ask for accountability. Ask your spouse, ask your best friend, ask them to call you out and to push you into the thing that you want to do and that you want to accomplish. You have to be constantly pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone. And I talked about last week how it's not really faith if you wait on the provision to be there before you take the leap. Like you dip your toe in the water a little bit before you step out of the boat. I like to think about the story in the Bible of Peter walking on water. And I think that we imagine like a small fishing boat that you can kind of just step over the edge, just like a two-man bass boat or something. Like when I was little, that's what I imagined was like a paddle boat. And Peter just steps over the edge onto the water and it's like really calm. And the more that I read the story and, you know, the older you get, I think that you start to actually, when you start to actually study the Bible for yourself, you realize like there's so much in here that's not what I thought it was. And so you realize that, wait, this was a fishing boat that held multiple grown men and they fished with nets, like giant nets that had to hold thousands of pounds of fish. Like these were big boats. So I think that Peter, and I wasn't there, I don't know. But in my mind, as an adult now, I imagine Peter almost jumping out of the boat, like a walk the plank kind of situation. He didn't really think before he did it, I don't think. And I think he had to take a leap to do it. I don't think it was one of those, I'm going to dip my toe in first and see if this is solid before I do it. I think he just jumped and did it and didn't put a ton of thought into it. And like I said, I wasn't there. I don't know exactly what happened. But I do know that there was some risk involved in what Peter was doing. And I want us to think about that for a minute, to think about where in situations where faith is required, risk will always be present. If you are living a risk-free life, you aren't living a faith-filled life. And I don't want to sound like a preacher, and this is a very like religious topic this week, but I also think it's essential to my life and what has gotten me this far and being where I am. And it's where I derive my strength from is my faith in God. And so for me, that is the power. The power is it's my life source. It's my everything. And none of the other episodes I've done, the power of this, the power of that, matter unless you think about what the foundation of all of it is, which is faith. Like I said a second ago, I want to say it one more time just so it sinks in. In situations where faith is required, risk will always be present. If you are living a risk-free life, you aren't living a faith-filled life. And many of us expect to see the provision before we ever make a leap of faith. And that's, I think, the dipping your toe in the water. We expect to have all the answers, or at least most of the answers, of how something is going to work out before we take that step. We want to think it out. We want to plan it out. I'm a planner for the most part, I think. I'm not as much of a planner as some other people that I know, but I have learned to relinquish a lot of that control the older that I've gotten. I would say I'm much less of a control freak now than I was 10 years ago, for sure. And if you knew me 10 years ago, you can probably attest to that. But I feel like part of it was learning how to have faith, because the opposite of faith, I think, is control, right? Like, I just not thought of that. You know, it's hard to think of like the opposite of something, but us trying to control every aspect of our lives, you know, we want to say like the opposite of faith is worry. The opposite of faith is control. That's the response to worry, is control and trying to control things and freaking out when we can't control things. My mom, actually, she was the one who first told me that. And it was like the most profound thing anyone's ever said to me. And I remember where I was when she said it to me. And it was either on the phone or in a text, but I remember I was in Uptown Grocery in Edmond, Oklahoma, and we were saving for New York. It was a struggle to save money, as it always is with saving money, as anyone knows. I was just frustrated. I called her and told her about my frustration. And she told me, you know, maybe you're supposed to take the leap anyway. It's not real faith if you have to have a certain amount in your bank account before you take this risk. Because we had like that number in our mind that we were like, okay, we need to save this amount of money before we move to New York, which I think a lot of people do that, you know, before they have kids or before they buy a house or before they quit their job to start their business. Like, and it was something that I had convinced myself was too difficult to do for 14 years of my life, or too expensive. When in reality, I could have moved here 14 years ago and done it. I didn't do it because I was afraid or thought that I needed a better plan or more money or didn't know what I was going to do when I got here. You know, all of those things, like fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of success, all of those things plagued me, I think, in my uphill battle of becoming who I am today. Not that I've arrived, but it is what it is. I'm here, folks. So, but I think that it was something that was so unattainable to me, but it was also because I was living such a risk-free life, and that was very comfortable for me, that I wasn't used to like pushing myself outside of my comfort zone. You know, talking about faith being a muscle and exercising your faith, the move to LA that we did in 2013, which I don't think I've told my listeners about that yet. They haven't been following me for more than 5 years, they're not going to know that. But in 2013, we moved to LA for 6 months and moved back. You know, a lot of people probably saw that as failure, but I don't think that we did, because I think we didn't really have an outcome set in our mind of what we wanted that to be. We just wanted to go out there and serve. And if it turned into something different or better out there, great. If not, great. But what we did do in that was we exercised our faith. It was like practice for New York. And I think that if we hadn't done that, then the New York thing would be even more difficult. I also think that even in modern church culture, I haven't heard this preached on a lot, about taking the leap before the provision is there. And I feel like the fact that this is such a hard concept to grasp in our culture, to me, paints a picture of how much we value risk avoidance. Even as Christians, we value safety and security. And one of my favorite books on this subject is Wild Goose Chase by Mark Batterson. It's so, so good. It will push you out of the nest. It will push you out of your comfort zone. I highly recommend reading it. And I was also thinking about, you remember that movie Along Came Polly? Tell me if I've got this right. So he works for an insurance company, and his job is to weigh the risk of insuring that person to see if they're a good candidate for insurance or not. And their desirable candidates are people who avoid risk the most. And he meets Polly, and she's like the opposite of that. She's the riskiest person he's ever met. And he falls in love with her, and it's a cute movie. I think that it points out something that I was thinking about earlier this week, and that the end goal of our life should not be risk avoidance. But that's literally how all of us are living our lives. And I can't tell you what the goal of your life should be, but I know for sure that it should not be risk avoidance. I'm not saying to go out and like share needles doing intravenous drugs and like sleep around and be promiscuous. Like when you're an adult and we're basically talking about financial risk, that's really what I'm speaking to today is financial risk. I just wanted to make that clear for a minute that I'm the biggest hater of videos of kids doing stupid stunts where they jump off of things and basically risk their life. I am not an adrenaline junkie, so don't get me wrong. This isn't about being stupid and dying and then your family mourning you and being really sad because you were stupid. Please don't do those things. That's not what this is about. Don't use that to justify your idiocy. This is about financial risk. I'm talking to the people in their life that feel like they are kind of stuck and they have a dream, but they're not really able to move forward until they feel like they have X amount of dollars in their bank or they get a sign from God from the heavens or something. I think that this has been interesting. Just in the last couple of weeks, I've noticed that Josh and I are getting kind of comfortable in New York. Like even in New York, even in probably the least comfortable city in the world, we are getting comfortable in our neighborhood, in our apartment. And I feel like you get reminded really quickly here to not get comfortable. But just like anywhere in, I think, America, it's easy to get comfortable and in our air-conditioned homes and not really want to do much or get out of the situation that we're in. Or we get really comfortable and used to a paycheck and we get really used to a routine. I think a lot of people find peace in a routine. I'm not one of those people. I'm not a routine person, but I know that there are a lot of people that do. And if their routine is disturbed, it makes them not feel as peaceful and not as comfortable, for sure. And I think that sometimes something as simple as that is scary to people to quit their job. They don't know what they would do without the 9-to-5. It's like it's a lot of time during their day that they're going to have to be self-disciplined enough to make something happen. They won't have a boss breathing down their neck. They're just going to have to self-regulate. That's difficult for people, I think. I don't want to, you know, act like we don't live in an apartment with central AC and that wasn't on the top of my list in New York City, which is actually really difficult to find in New York City, believe it or not. But the fact that our apartment does have central heat and AC is such a blessing. It is one that I am so grateful for. And so I'm a fan of comfort. I definitely don't want to like put off the vibe that I'm not just as guilty of this stuff. I just want to hopefully get my point across that I feel like that shouldn't be the goal. That shouldn't be the goal of my life, is to have this apartment in New York City and just live and die here. And what's crazy is that was just kind of my goal for a long time. I never really like thought out past live in New York City. That was the goal, live in New York City. Okay, like what are you going to do when you get there? And so I think a lot of times when we don't set specific goals for ourselves beyond live somewhere else or do something, we can get complacent and comfortable in that place as well. And so for me, a lot of it is reevaluating, recognizing what I need to adjust in my goals, my dreams, and my attack, and actually start implementing and executing things that are going to get me there. And most of my problem in goal setting in my life has been lack of specifics. I don't know why that is, but I need to start getting more specific with my dreaming for sure. I think that would battle a lot of the comfort of things, especially. And like dreaming big. I think if you dream big and dream so big that it's going to take you several years to achieve that dream, that battles complacency as well. So unless you're just a boss at like every year sitting down and reevaluating and writing down yearly goals and knocking those out, and that's how you do your goal setting and that works for you, great. But for the rest of us that don't sit down and write them all out every year, and I should, I'm not knocking that, but I'm just saying like, there's so many things I need to work on, but big goals, set big goals, dream big dreams, make them far away and hard to reach for, but still attainable, I think. Like, not so crazy that you just freak yourself out or ignore them and don't go for them. But, and specific. Specific is important, too. Anyway, back to faith and what we were talking about with comfort. And I had mentioned that a lot of people's comfort is in their paycheck. And I think a lot of people's faith is in their paycheck, too. So I want to ask you that. Is your faith in your paycheck, in your clients, in your 401k, in your nest egg? Maybe it's in your husband's 401k or nest egg. Maybe it's in your house. Maybe you have a lot of your money tied up in your home. You know, if you lost that home for some reason or the stock market went bust, you would be without. You would find yourself back at zero. And I feel like that happened for a lot of people in 2008, which isn't that long ago. I feel like what's crazy about that is how quickly and how much the stock market has bounced back up since then. Still, not having a ton of our money tied up in the stock market yet, it still gets a little bit scary sometimes. So I can't imagine people that had everything in that. And so I definitely want to be sensitive to that. I want to say that, like, I have never fully experienced having $1 million in the stock market to then wake up one day and have nothing. Like, so I really don't know what that feels like. So I want to be sensitive to that. But I also think that if that's what your faith is in, then, I mean, that's why people kill themselves when the stock market crashes. And I think that that's a scary place to be, putting your faith in your finances. I'm going to say that, like, you know, when I asked you, is your faith in your paycheck? Is your faith in your clients? Is it in your 401k? Is it in your nest egg? You know, your gut reaction might have been no, because that's what most people think. Most people will say that too, because they know that that's the good Sunday school answer. But I want you to really be honest with yourself and ask yourself, is that me? Is, like, what would happen if I lost my job? What would happen if my husband lost his job? And I also want to be clear that I think that saving money is smart and investing is smart. And I think that you should. But sometimes I think that we think that the savings account is the secret to achieving greatness in this life. And it has absolutely nothing to do with that. Or sometimes we tell ourselves, okay, we need X amount of dollars in a bank account before we take this leap. And we don't move until the provision is there. That's not faith. That's good planning, but it's not faith. I think some people even are waiting on an answer from God in financial form before they're taking the risk. Because I've done this before, where you've told God, okay, I'll do this, but you're going to have to provide. And, like, you're going to have to provide before I do the thing. Like, you're going to have to show me the money in my bank account before I take this risk. And I think that people think that praying prayers like that are faith. And I'm sorry to say this, but I don't think that they are. Because I think that faith is taking the risk before you see the provision there. And I think that God is saying back to you, as you're telling God, like, show me that you've got my back, and then I'll take the leap. Meanwhile, God is saying to you, just take the leap. I've got you. Stop worrying. You can't control everything, even though you think you can. It's like I was saying earlier. Control is the opposite of faith. And it's crazy how many people fear losing control in their lives. So many people. It's not just the money, it's the control. Being in control of where the money is coming from. I think that's a big part of it too. I want to encourage you to, this year, give God an opportunity to wow you. Take a risk this year that requires financial divine intervention and watch him wow you. Something that's outside your comfort zone that you wouldn't normally say yes to it. Even if you don't have a plan right now for how you're going to pay for it or anything like that, say yes. Strengthen your faith muscles and begin to wow yourself. Take the leap. If you like this podcast, be sure to subscribe by going to Apple, Spotify, Google, Breaker, or Overcast. New episodes posted every Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern. If you'd like to support this podcast, go to anchor.fm/Danielle Elizabeth Inc. and click on support. This podcast is mixed and mastered by Jaren Nix of Desperado Sound.